Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Since Sherry and I recorded the Witch Hazel episode, the days have gotten longer and brighter, and last week we had a wonderful gathering for Imulk. I'm behind on getting this episode out, but there's been some personal stuff that was distracting me. No matter, because we have more weeks of Imulk season before the wheel turns to the next of its 8 spokes. True to the energy of the season, I've been finding clarity around my work and, in some respects, my life. One thing that's clear is that shamanic Reiki will always be part of my work, both as a practitioner and as a teacher. Unlike other styles of Reiki, shamanic Reiki, the way Lynn Roberts taught it to me, is a more embodied practice, intuitive but very grounded, exactly what I need at times I'm feeling lost or simply stressed. My next virtual offering of Shamanic Reiki Level 2 is open to anyone with at least a Level 1 attunement in any Reiki style and some shamanic journeying experience, and it'll begin on Wednesday, February 21st. I would love to have you, so check out the link in the show notes for more information, the complete schedule, and registration. The name Imulk, or Imbolc, is believed to come from Old Irish and is usually translated as in the belly or ewe's milk. Imulk is connected with one of the earliest signs of spring, milk coming in for gestating cows and sheep. Imulk's usually celebrated between February 1st and 4th, or when the sun transits 15 degrees of Aquarius. And it's associated with the Feast of St. Bridget and Candlemas. I do Imulk on February 2nd, which connects Imulk to the American Groundhog Day. When I got into Druidry, it was driven in part by my ancestral connection to the British Isles and Celtic spirituality. The Celtic goddess most usually associated with Imhotep is Brigid, who morphed into Saint Brigid after the Christians showed up. Brigid is one of the Tuatha De Danann, the fae who ruled Ireland until the Milesians, invaders who are now the Irish people, sent them into hiding in the fairy mounds. Brigid is considered a mother goddess with three aspects connected to the flame: health, hearth, and the forge. She was the patroness of poetry and the creative arts, and was revered by the bards who memorized her poetry in the Druid oral tradition. In her health aspect, Brigid is the goddess of healing and fertility, particularly the fertility of ewes, dairy cows, and other livestock. That fertility is honored in Imbolc. Her healing arts include herbal medicine and midwifery. The hearth fire is another aspect of Brigid. During winter, the hearth would be where everyone gathered for warmth. It was an essential part of their survival. Now, Brigid is present in our central heating. At Imhotep, her fire energy is represented by lots of candles, and some people include making candles for the year ahead as part of their Imhotep activities. The church continued that association by blessing all the candles to be burned during services in the coming year at Candlemas. In the forge aspect, Brigid is the patroness of smithcraft and the martial arts. She was honored by warriors who at that time would have battled with swords crafted in that forge. Brigid is also associated with water, but mainly wells and springs, thought to be portals to other worlds. They're a source of wisdom and healing. There are many springs in Ireland named for Brigid. Her ties to both water and smithcraft may have given her a place in the Arthur legends. Some people believe that the Lady of the Lake, who forged Excalibur, King Arthur's unbeatable sword, was actually Brigid. An important part of my work with the Wheel of the Year is paying attention to what is real around me. I have to admit that I am disappointed by winter 2024. Instead of steady snow, we've had unseasonably warm days and rain. Then during overnight chills, that all freezes into ice. Walking on ice is dangerous, and I have fallen more times than I would like to in my life. And it really takes the fun out of outdoor exploration. I'd love to get on my snowshoes, but I'm waiting and hoping we get more seasonable again. Outside, I've been keeping my feeders full because the squirrels and blue jays who hang out here may not be able to dig through the ice to the caches they've hidden in fall. I don't want anyone to be hungry. It's too soon to tell if this winter's weather is part of the longer pattern of climate change. Due to the changing climate, there is a lot about the seasonal cycles that shifted since the ancient Celts were worshiping Brigid. But one thing has been steady. Whether it's cold or unseasonably warm, the days are lengthening. I'm at a northern enough latitude to really notice the change in the light. Ireland is further north, and the brightening would have been even more perceptible. That aspect of Imhotep season is something to hang on to no matter what happens with the climate. Now, you may have already created your Imhotep altar, but if not, it's not too late. We have 6 more weeks to work with this energy. I've got some ideas for you for seasonal decorations. Snowflakes, maybe even made out of paper, evergreen sprigs, and early spring bulbs, such as snowdrops or crocuses. Give us the muted colors of Imhotep. Pale pinks, yellows, and greens are great highlights. Candles are essential. Lots of candles. In places where it isn't safe to have open flames, I'll use battery ones. Candle wreaths are great. Ice luminaries, whether frozen in the freezer or outdoors, are also really good, if temporary decorations. I love them with evergreens or flowers frozen in them to represent the life under the snow. Gemstones that are reminiscent of ice and Imolc's colors are clear and milky quartz and amethyst. Rose quartz and green aventurine are also lovely, matching the colors, but they're bringing some self-love energy in. And after all, Valentine's Day falls within Imolc season. If you want to bring some herbal stuff into your altar, herbs for Imolc include rosemary, lavender, basil, jasmine, blackberry, and crocus. You can also put some acorns or any evergreens on the altar for Imolc. The best thing to do, really, is to search for early signs of spring in your area and include those or representatives of those on your altar. Maybe the tips from some of your bulbs are popping up. You can force some bulbs and put those on your altar. Bridget is most frequently associated with farmed animals, but I like to look to wildlife for seasonal inspiration. Animals that hibernate, such as snakes and badgers, also correspond to Bridget and Imolc. Badgers, particularly the European variety, are tied to Candlemas weather divination. That practice was brought to the United States by Germanic settlers and has morphed into Groundhog Day. And I chose to honor groundhogs in my Imolc ritual last week. Groundhog Day was started by the Pennsylvania Dutch, who watched badgers on Candlemas in their native Europe to see if they saw their shadows to predict how long wintry weather would last. The eastern United States does not have badgers, however. The badgers that are found in the American Southwest are not friendly and are unlikely to cooperate with being dragged out of their dens, and in any case, would not have been encountered by the settlers in Pennsylvania. The lowly groundhog became a stand-in for the badger. Groundhogs are plentiful, but even though they're not threatened, they deserve to be acknowledged as an important part of the ecosystem. They're often in conflict with farmers and gardeners due to their 60 to 80 foot burrows and garden raiding. Groundhogs are really not good weather forecasters, but there are several things which give us reasons to appreciate groundhogs. Groundhogs are one of the few true hibernators, meaning they stay asleep all the way through winter. They lower their body temperature, their metabolism depresses, and they burn most of their body fat as they sleep. When they wake up in the spring, they have to eat and eat a lot, so they have enough fat on their bodies for next winter. Unless they find a lovely garden, groundhogs munch on vegetation such as clover, dandelion, and the leaves of some shrubs. They'll also eat bark and twigs of trees, including dogwoods and cherry trees. Berries and apples are also part of their diet. Groundhogs will even eat snails, grasshoppers, and other bugs if they find them. Groundhogs are also called woodchucks, and in other parts of the United States, whistle pigs, due to their whistle-like alarm cry. They're the largest member of the squirrel family. Like squirrels and all rodents, their teeth grow continuously, so they have to keep gnawing on things to wear them down. And if they don't, their teeth will actually stop lining up they won't be able to eat and they'll starve. Unlike tree squirrels, groundhogs dig these really extensive burrows, which they use to escape predators and sleep and raise their young. These burrows are important to other species who also use them for shelter, such as foxes, coyotes, otters, and weasels. Those foxes and coyotes, along with bobcats and large raptors, including eagles, will eat groundhogs. So love them or not, groundhogs should be appreciated as an important part of North America's native ecosystem. Now, food is usually a big part of seasonal celebrations, and Imolc is no exception. Most of the traditional Imolc foods include dairy and lamb, which are not part of my plant-based diet. But I found a few options for my Imolc celebration. Scottish bannock, or oatcakes, is a versatile quick bread that is really easily made without dairy. And it can be seasoned with almost anything, such as an Imolc herb like rosemary. There's also a white punch that's often made for Candlemas. It's lemon and lime soda mixed with evaporated milk and ice cream and some flavors. But there are plant-based versions of both evaporated milk and ice cream, so I can really easily modify that recipe. Lemon is often included in Imolc recipes to represent the strengthening sun. Lemon cakes are great to include in your menu. And I personally like potato and leek soup, and that really honors Bridget's Irish connection. One of the ways we connect to the earth in shamanic Reiki is by making offerings to the earth on a regular basis to give back for all the blessings we receive from her. During Imolc season, consider what will help the wildlife survive the rest of winter. Seed and dried berries that will support the birds who winter in your area are really good choices for offerings. You might also give some of your Imolc food back to the earth, but please consider all wildlife when you're making offerings and don't leave anything that may be toxic to those smaller than humans, which includes chocolate. There are activities associated with Imolc that can help you tune into the energy of the season. Remember that Imolc is just the start of the season, and you didn't miss out if you just start now. Bridget's crosses, which are crosses with four equal length arms crafted from straw and rushes, are a really good Imolc craft. In the years when I couldn't get straw, I used twigs gathered outside. Be creative. You can put one on your altar, and you can hang them on doors and windows for protection. Burning the greens is an integral element of my Imolc ceremonies. Put some dried evergreen sprigs left over from your Yule decorations into a cauldron or other fireproof container, and burn them to signify faith that spring will come. Think about what you're hoping for as they burn. This is a great time to learn to knit or crochet if you don't already know how. And if you do, start a new project. What better excuse to do some stash busting? Use wool to honor the sheep, unless you're against it, or use another natural fiber. Craft a corn dolly to represent Bridget, and you can look online for instructions for that. Pour candles for spell work or for your altar. I know Sherry will approve of this next one. Order seeds for your garden and bless them. If the timing works for your planting zone, start your seeds indoors. I can't start seeds yet, but I can bless the packets. A seed blessing ceremony makes a fun group ritual with your circle or even a garden club. Imolc often gets lost after Yule when everyone is burnt out on holiday celebrations. But Imolc can be very meaningful even without decorations or activities. When I think of Imolc, I think of hope for the returning spring. But recognizing the increasing hours of daylight had me considering what it means to shine light into the darkness. Light helps me see things more clearly. Therefore, Imolc season is a time to clarify whatever emerged during the inner reflection of Yule season. Floating in the dark void, many ideas appear. Now it's time to examine those in the light. Which of those are still exciting or inspiring? Which best serves your spiritual growth? Which can wait until another time? Use the clarity you find to plan the rest of your year. I hope you have a beautiful Imolc season and find clarity in the increasing light. Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.